My first comment is sort of picking up on what you said, the moderator, about fear, and fear actually to talk about these issues. And I want to, I guess, I work in international human rights. Most of my experience is in Mexico and Central America and parts of South America. And I want to encourage, I think one of the main challenges is to get much more citizen involvement in these affairs. I say that for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is I think that myself as an activist, I don't trust our governments and media, and particularly the mainstream media, to lead us in a balanced way and provide to us an honest and open discussion and debate about these issues. I don't mean by that that I refuse to work with government and advocate with government and lobby for change, and the same thing with the press. I don't mean that I don't work with the press, but I think more and more, and based on my work over the past 20 or 30 years in the Cold War era, that I cannot and we cannot trust our governments and media to provide us with the information that we need to take hard decisions. And one thing that struck me today was the editorial in the Globe and Mail, which was basically chastising people who are critical of U.S. foreign policy and labeling us indirectly or directly as people who don't care about the victims in New York City, or that we somehow blame the victims, and that's the title of the editorial, Please Don't Blame the American Victims. And I find that very manipulative and misleading, and I want to encourage citizens as a number one challenge, all of us, whether in the United States or Canada, to become increasingly involved in educating ourselves about these global political issues and taking strong stands, because I don't think that we should or can trust our governments or media to provide us with the information we need. And I will get to a question, but I think part of my example...
Yes, could you ask your question,
...of not trusting our politicians and media is how over the last 10 days or so, there's been so many assumptions that have been thrown at us, and some of them have been mentioned by some of the speakers, all the rhetoric about good versus evil, a terrorist attack on freedom and democracy, a challenge to Western civilization, and all of these things that we're accepting as presumptions, as truths, without really questioning them. So to get to one of the presumptions that I'd like to ask a specific question about is that of terrorism itself. I'd like to ask the panel, to each of you, to comment on what you think terrorism is and who can commit it. Is it just small groups or can states commit it? And I ask that question, and I'd like to start with you, Mr. Atkey, and I know this is putting you on the spot a bit, but I think that we need to open up this discussion because we are going to be rushing ahead with changes in laws about what is funding terrorism and not. And I presume that sooner or later my NGO is going to be called as a group that funds terrorism in Central America because of the types of group we support.
All right, thank you.
So yeah. I would ask you to please discuss and comment yourselves on what you actually think terrorism is and how we're going to define it and identify who is committing or what countries are committing acts of terrorism.
Very, very simply, and I'm not going to give you a legal definition, there are many, but it's essentially aiding, abetting, facilitating violence through direct violent means or through other forms of intimidation. It can apply to individuals, groups, corporations, and nation states. And there are horrible examples in our history of terrorist acts of all of the kinds I just mentioned. And some have had minor consequences, some have had major consequences. And I abhor all forms of terrorism, and I think we can, as Canadians, with our existing legal systems and our existing institutions, you don't need major legislative changes, we can participate in helping to reduce terrorism and terrorist acts.
Other responses from the panel? Yes.
For me, and... I remember, and if I just explain, there was the Somali dictator, I mean, in Somalia, who was really accusing in the northern people as a terrorist some time ago, and there was a general who died, and he was asked, I mean, they were terrorists, and he says, terrorists, I should say, somebody who stands somewhere at your way who asks you something for his own interest, a personal interest, or a little group interest, and something that and just not and make that cannot make a big impact on political impact, or cannot make and something that and would and awake the minds of the people. It's something cheap, I think, a terrorist call it. I don't think that it has anything or any objectives or any humanity thinking in their behind their mind. And terrorists is for me is a very cheap and faithless and human being that I could call terrorist.
Thank you. I'm going to go to yes.
This definition has a lot of assumptions, and I don't. I won't launch into a lecture on each of the assumptions, but I would say terrorism essentially are acts of mass violence designed to achieve a political objective. And such acts occur in war and in peace, and they occur outside the rule of democratically defined law, basically.
Can I provoke the discussion a
tiny bit more? No, I don't think so. Can we go to the microphone at the back at the top, please?